Boker Tov, for of today's daf in the Sechet Sanhedrin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ira Kedash, is daf Chet. All right, the last thing that we heard was the Talmud of Rav Kahana did not give any kind of space to a person who thought he was using influence and he was making reference to his close relationship with Rav. And from there we see that if a Talmud would have put that guy into Nidui, even though normally we don't, as Tosis points out, we don't put into Nidui a Talmud in front of the Rav. But in this case, it was, of course, entirely for the purposes of the Din, and it was actually responsive to Rav. So, of course, he could have put him into Nidui. So we continue now with additional psukim, where the Torah gives a warning to Dayanim about how it is that they have to act in the course of the Din. So here was Moshe Rabbeinu explaining to the Dayanim what it is that they have to do. Kakaton kagadol tishmon. You have to hear the small case as well as the big case, which is obvious. So he was going to explain. If you've got a case of a penny and you've got a case of $1 billion, it's exactly the same, has to be in your eyes. Well, what do you mean? In terms of what? What, that you have to give the psak din and you have to concentrate on what the correct halach is? I mean, that's pretty obvious, isn't it? Why in the world would there be the slightest difference in terms of how real the din has to be? That's pshita. Ella, the chiddush is lagdune, that if, let's say, somebody brings a case of one penny that is in front of you, and meanwhile, so another case comes in where there's billions of dollars that are at risk. There's no difference in terms of the order. You have to deal with the case as it was brought to you. You tell the guy with the billions that he's got to wait in turn for his din. Because we don't give some additional meaning to a case just because it is greater. All right, that also seems to be pshita, and the Mefarshim explained different reasons why I might have thought that you should take into consideration that the other person may be endangered with greater loss, and so on and so forth. Okay, but whatever the halacha is, of course, there may be cases where you would have to worry about that, but in any event, this is the azara for the overall modality of how a dayan views the din that he's involved in. We actually, I don't know if, is Rabbanea here, if he remembers? I don't think he's here. No, but we actually, I think Shmuel, were you there in Alaska with us? No, you didn't go to Alaska. Okay, so nobody's here from that trip. But we had met a Supreme Court judge there when the yeshiva went to Alaska, and he actually had a case that involved literally many billions. It was a case of oil of the Alaskan pipeline. And it turned out, we just met this guy in the supermarket. And he turned out to be a Supreme Court justice over there. He takes all of the bokrim to his house and shows them that he has a ksav yichus on his wall that he's a descendant of the Rama. So that explains how he became a dayan. It was like an amazing, beautiful thing to see in the middle of nowhere. I think it was like in Fairbanks, Alaska. a grandson, great-great-grandson of the Rama. Amazing. Lo taguru mipnei ish. Furthermore, continues on to say, don't be afraid of anybody. This is just the stick in here, Reb Chanan, again, that we had before. Who darshins lo taguru in the sense of don't keep your words in, but it's really just an introduction because this was already said. Ki amishpat le'elohimi. The judgment is actually God's. Amrav chama brevichanina, omara kadosh baruch hu, lo dayan l'rishayim shenotlim izem amon v'notnim l'zeh. Shelo kedin, these disgusting judges, it's not bad enough that they're not careful not to take money away from an individual whose money it is and give it to somebody else, which is bad enough. But the chutzpah of the Shabbat Rechim Otilach, Zir Mamon Lebaalav, they bother me, and I have to now reset the world and bring things back to justice. So now I'm going to have to make sure that everything is changed so that people get their money back. And they figure, okay, we can cause additional trouble for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hadavar asher yikshem ikem. So what Moshe Rabbeinu says is that anything that is tough for you guys and you don't know the din, no problem. Just bring it to me. Omer Rabbi Chanina v'itema Rabbi Yoshia. Oh, adover ze ne'enash Moshe. The way that Moshe spoke here, he was punished for, because it made it sound as if he is the one that's on top of the world. He should have said, if there's something that you can't decide, so I'll bring it to the Shekhinah, or you should bring it before the Shekhinah. But what it said, bring it to me, as if he's the real authority, the buck stops here. How do we see that Moshe was punished for this? Because it says in the case of the Benot Zelofchad, which we were talking about before. And the Benot Zelofchad, remember, this was the whole basis. In Baba Basra, we've been going through all of the dinim of what's involved in the Yerusha. It was all learned out from the Benot Zelofchad. How come Moshe didn't teach it? And how come when the Benot Zelofchad came, Moshe didn't have an answer? He had to go and present the case to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was to show, you see, you don't know everything. And that must have been because of this Maisa. I don't understand why you think that there was anything inappropriate about Moshe's saying to bring it to me. He didn't say, bring it to me and I will tell you what it is that you have to do. Did he say, I will tell you what the din is? He said, Ushmativ, I'll hear what you have to say. And in saying that, he was saying, I'm not sure that I can answer it. I'll hear it, and then we'll see. In Gemirna. So if I was taught already the answer by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then I was taught, and I'll be able to answer. But if not, I'll go and learn. So he was on the contrary. He was putting himself very clearly in a position of vulnerability. I'm not claiming I'm going to be able to help you directly, but I'll certainly listen and see what we can do. I think that's a very sweet way of saying it. So according to what Renachem Bar Yitzchak is saying, why in the world was he punished? It must be that the fact that the Benos Zelofchad were the ones who were Zocha to say those dinim, essentially, to bring those dinim out in the world, was not as a punishment to Moshe. Ela Kedetanya, there's another braita that explains it, which we had actually, we learned this. Ru'uya parashat mechalot shtikateva yidei Moshe Rabbeinu. The truth is that Nachalot should have been just like anything else and should have been said straightforwardly up front by Moshe Rabbeinu. So why did life work out in such a way that the Torah waited until this actual event happened? We were standing before the Yerusha of Eretz Yisrael, and these were the ones who stand out in the Torah and the whole story, every single halacha, amazing, that whole parsha and the whole perek was always about Benot Zelofchad from beginning to end, because they were Zocha. They had such love for Eretz Yisrael, and they wanted so much to have a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. And they were, we saw that they were chachmomiot and so on. So because of that, they were Zocha. And the truth is, we find the opposite as well. The dinim that we learned from the story of the person who went ahead and was mekoshesh on Shabbos, which, of course, remember, according to Rabbi Akiva, was Zelofchad. So the mekoshesh actually brought out the halacha of the chiyuv of skila on Shabbos. Moshe could have said that up front. But he was the one who was nitchayev, mikoshesh, and because of that, the Torah brought out halacha through him to teach you. Shemegalgalim chova yedei chayav, v'zechuta yedei zakai. To be say a halacha that there should be a din of skila in the Torah, chas v'chalila, that people should come to an einish skila, is a terrible thing. So it should be said through somebody who deserves to be the agents of such things. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu waited for the Mekoshesh, because we always look for someone who is chayev to say things like that. But on the other hand, the dinim of Yerusha Saaretz, which was the tachlis of the Shvuat Avram Avinu, that comes through people who have that level of care. And that's what it comes to teach you. But not chas v'sholem that Moshe Rabbeinu had acted inappropriately and therefore was punished. All right, let's continue. V'atzaveh shoftechem be'itahin. Now, this is not the same drushes that we were talking about, but in the beginning of Dvarim, when it's introduced, we didn't talk about the introduction. We were talking about the actual chiyuv in it. But the introduction is a little bit strange because in almost one pasuk after the other, one pasuk says, Va'atzaveh shoftechem ba'etahi. So there it says, I was talking to the shoftim at that time. And then two pasukim later it says, Va'atzaveh etchem ba'etahi. That I actually commanded you, meaning the people. So, I mean, I understand that all of the mitzvahs that we have learned up until now that come from this introduction were given to the shoftim. But then that means that the shoftim were in charge. What does it mean when it says, and then I commanded the people? And which means what? What did I tell the people that I hadn't told the judges already? Omar Rabbi Elazar, Omar Rabbi Smaloi. No, this is actually meant to be a juxtaposition of the way in which the relationship between the people and the shoftim needs to be. So what the second pasuk was, Vatzaveh etchen, that is an azara letzibur shetei eimat dayan aleihem. That was teaching the tzibur how it is that they have to view and have to relate to the dayanim. They have to treat them with immense respect and recognize that they can be put into nidui and that we have the makel and the ritzua and so on and so forth. And the first pasuk is an azara ledayan sheizbol et atzibur. So basically the dayanim are taught the way that they have to have an attitude of patience and tolerance towards the tzibur which they're dealing with, because it's very difficult to deal with these Jews when they come to court. And therefore, they needed a very special tzivoy about that, as we find numerous times. And in fact, Moshe Rabbeinu himself, in his own complaining about the way that he was treated, brings this out. Because at kama, how far do we go by saying that a judge has to have patience? Om Rabbi Hanan Vitema Rabbi Shabtai, as Moshe Rabbeinu say, he tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did I do to deserve this, that you told me I have to carry around these people, kasher yisah ha'omenet ha'yonek, the way a nursing mother has to carry around a suckling baby? That's unbelievable. Mr. Gavi is giving us a indication today of how it is that the dayan has to actually, this is why he wanted to give us a show and tell. How much does the dayan have to care for his tzibur? Can you imagine having to do that for the mamzerim around you also? Well, that's not so easy. Those are the guys you want to take a hatchet and bust their brains out. Anyway, there's also an interesting, really amazing contradiction, if you think about it, in the way that Yehoshua was commanded to bring Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. Because one of the psukim indicates that he is supposed to keep a low profile and should always do everything on the basis of speaking to others and making sure that he's not relying on himself. And that was when Moshe Rabbeinu had originally given him the mitzvah that he was going to be the one bringing Klal Yisrael in to Eretz Yisrael. He didn't say, you are going to be bringing them in. He said, ki ata tavo, you're going to be coming in with them. Which implies that, you know, don't be a big shot, don't be on top of them, don't be the boss, but do everything together with additional advisory people. And on the other hand, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says later to Yehoshua directly that you're going to bring them in, he says, Ki ata tavi, you are going to bring them in, meaning you're the one in charge. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, exactly. When Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who was telling Yehoshua what you have to do, so what he said was, Atav azikenim shebedori mahem, atav tavo. You are going to come together with the Zakanim, and you're going to actually seek their advice at all times. You shouldn't get too much on your own. But the next pasuk is talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tzivui to Yehoshua. Because there it says, Asher Nishbati. In the first pasuk, it said that Asher Nishba Hashem. So obviously, one is said by Moshe, but the second one was said directly by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Yehoshua. And he was told, you better go and bring them in. Tol Makel, take a stick and bust their heads in if they don't listen. So Tol Makel v'chach al kat kadam. Dabar achad l'dor, ve'in shnei dabarin l'dor. We don't run Klal Yisrael with troikas, you know. There's one leader and not a dual leadership. So you've got to stand up there and put up a big sign, the buck stops here. Anyway, getting back now to the Mishnah. The next piece, we were talking about three dayanim. So there's a weird brisa that in the context of all of these Piskei Halachas and Mishnayos about how many dayanim, it says a weird thing. It says, Zimun Bishlosha. Zimun? What is that supposed to mean? What do you mean Birkat Zimun? You're coming to tell me now that you have to make, you know, Birkat Zimun when you have three people that are being Mevarech. So that is Zimun, which means to invite the others, Rabotai Nevarech. So that's inviting, is Zimun. We call that the Birkat Zimun. Baruch Shachana B'Shalom, and so on. Is that what you mean? I mean, Tanya, Zimun u'Birkat Zimun B'Shalosha. Just to make it clear that it does not mean the Birkat Zimun, it's mentioned separately in the Braita. So apparently it's something else. Now, don't try to tell me that when it says Zimun u'Birkat Zimun, it wasn't two different things. It was saying Zimun, by which I mean Birkat Zimun, is B'Shalosha. So, v'chitem a perushin kama farish, we're just explaining what we mean over here. My zimun, Birkat zimun. No, because there's yet a third braita that seeks to make it very clear that that's not what we're talking about. V'atanya, zimun bishlosha and Birkat zimun is bishlosha. So, obviously, you're not going to say three two times if you're just coming to express what you mean by the word zimun. So what is meant by Zimun? How does it come over here? Zimun means a subpoena. Zimun, look, what does Zimun mean? To invite. That, well, that's what a subpoena is. The Beis Din is sending you a subpoena to appear in court. That's what it means. So Azmune Ledin, Ki Adi Amar Rava. Note that we have really detailed dinim about how we are able to issue a summons to court. You've got three judges that are in the Beis Din, and they say to summon so-and-so to court, so they subpoena him. But the subpoena only mentions one of the judges. So the shliach of the Beis Din goes, and he presents a subpoena from this Beis Din of three people, but it only mentions one of the dayanim. So like it says, you are invited to the court to appear before Rabbi Chiya. And he doesn't mention the other dayanim. Then that is not a real subpoena. Lo amar klum. In what sense? If the guy doesn't show, you cannot hold him in contempt of court because it wasn't issued by a court. And therefore, Adi Omar Bishmei Dekulu, it only becomes an official summons so that in ignoring it, you are in contempt of court, and then you're in big trouble because then you can be put into Nidui and worse if you don't respond afterwards and so on. So that requires mentioning of all three dayanim. However, this is only if the subpoena was for a day that is not a standard court day. It's a day, let's say it's a Tuesday. Tuesday is not the day that we normally go to court. So if, in fact, you send him a subpoena, you've got to make it very clear that this is a subpoena from all these people. But if it's a regular day on a Monday and a Thursday, which is when we made the takona from the time of Ezra, that we're going to have these courts, then it's obvious. If you're subpoenaed to appear Monday in front of Rabbi Chiya, it means in front of Rabbi Chiya's court with the three dayanim, and that those three dayanim are inviting you to court. Next cases that we had was Tashlumi Kefel, Tashlumi Arba Ava Chamisha. So all of those require Shlosha Dayanim. Shalach Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chisla, Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov. Could you teach me, please, how many Dayanim do we need to be done Dine Knasot? What? What do you mean? The Mishnah says. What kind of question is that? You never read the Mishnah? Anantanan B'Shlosha. We just said you need to have Shlosha. No, I'm saying, we said before that you can have a Yochid Mumcha, when we were talking about the other Dinei Mominis. Would that even be true of a Yochid Mumcha, that he could be done Dinei Knosos on his own? Because remember, we said that even if you hold Midiraisa, you need three Dayanim. But we said that we made a takana that you can only have a single dayan. It would also be enough. And that way, we would keep the court docket down. And that way, people know that they don't have to wait for years to deal with, like you have today. People don't even bother. Forget it. It's not worth going to court. It's going to take you years to get your money. So we wanted to know, did that takana, did it apply even to Dinei Knasot, or are Dinei Knasot not viewed as being something that is necessary for society to function? And Amar Leih, Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov said to him, that is also in our Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says, Tashlumei Kefel, V'Tashlumei Arba Ava Chamisha, require Shlosha. So what do you think these Shlosha mean? Do you think that these shlosha mean three non-mumchim? And then you'd say, but what if he's a mumcha? Maybe it could be one? Meaning, shlosha is shlosha hedyotot, that do not have smicha? Or Omar Avua de Avuch, your grandfather, who is Reb Chisda, he quoted Rav as saying that afilu asara vein hedyotot are psulon de dine knosos. You can have even 10 people, but they're hedyotot. Then you cannot use them, and therefore it's got to mean that you have mumchim. And it says, even though you have mumchim, you need three. So if you would accurately understand the Mishnah, you wouldn't have asked this question. It's clear that a single shofet is not considered, even if he has smicha, he's not considered to be ro'oi in a case of knosos, only in cases where there's actual payment of the money that is due not as a penalty, but as the actual chiyuv of the moment. Next thing in our Mishnah we had is very fascinating machlokas. That is that according to the Chachomim, a motzi shemra requires esrim v'shloshes. So Rabbi Meir had said, motzi shemra. So motzi shemra is a situation where a person claims that his wife, who was supposedly a virgin, and when he actually ends up sleeping with her, he discovers that she's not a virgin. And therefore, he does not want, now there's a number of issues that are involved here. Therefore what? So first of all, if there are actually witnesses that she committed adultery, so then he's accusing her of a chiyav misa. And if she is a nara murasa, so she would be chayevet skila, then for sure, we would need esrim v'shlosha, because all cases of capital cases require esrim v'shlosha. But he may not be doing that. He may not have any witnesses that she committed adultery. He's just saying, look, I made a mistake. I was into a marriage with a virgin, and now it turns out that I didn't get what I thought I was getting. I had given her a ketuvah based on her being a virgin, and I don't want to pay it. I want to divorce her, and I don't want to pay that ketuvah. Now, the din is over there, if you recall, from Masechet Ketuvot. So we had a ruling that we have a chazaka that ein adam toreach besu'uda umafsida. That since the whole takana over here of his giving her the ketuvah is basically a derabbanan. So the rabbanan said, okay, you have to give her ketuvah. But if it's unusual case that the morning after the marriage, I mean, it's insane. This is scandalous what a guy is going to say after spending all of this money on a big wedding and all the people are dancing. And then the next morning he's coming into Beis Din and he's claiming he wants out. And this is a tremendous scandalous thing. This kind of thing doesn't happen normally. And therefore we say, okay, look, we have a chazaka. No normal person would just go and take advantage of a girl and then claim she was a virgin. She wasn't a virgin. So therefore, he is believed in being mafsid or the ksuva. Now, if it turns out that he had accused her falsely and the edim that he brings, if he was accusing her of adultery, it turns out that they were phonies and that they had been paid off, they were edim zoymanim, then he is the one that is sued. And he has to pay mea kesef, because of the way that he spoke about his wife. From there, the Gemara proves beautifully that it's worse saying something about someone. So over here, he's saying she wasn't a virgin, he pays mea shekel. And if he had actually raped her, he would have paid 50 shekel. So gives you a better idea of what is the worst crime. Not exactly the way our society views life. And that's very important. It's those issues where it departs, the Torah Din departs so deeply from the way that people have this gut reaction. It's there you know that you are actually assimilated or acculturated to the overall culture of which you're part of. You become a Westernly acculturated Jew. So someone who bases his life on the Torah obviously understands that Lashon Hara is worse than rape, which is exactly what happens over here. We have double the penalty for a Metzi Shemra than we have for an actual rapist. Okay, so now the question is, what exactly are we talking about? I mean, certainly nobody would have said, like the Chachamim are tining that what you require. I mean, what is the machlokas over here? Whether you require 23 or you require only 3. I mean, how could you only require 3 the way Rabbi Meir says? Obviously, we're talking about a case where he was not coming to be mechayev her for adultery. He was just saying, look, I didn't find the tumim and I don't want to pay the ketuvah. And that's a normal monetary halacha, which requires only 3. But then why would the Chachomim say that you require 23? So how exactly do we understand the machlokas? Assuming that he's only trying to get out of paying the ketuvah. Now, this is the way Rashi understands the entire. I'm going to present it first according to Rashi, and then I'll present it according to Tosfos. I'll explain to you why Tosfos does not accept Rashi's pshat on any level. But first, let's take a look at the way we read the Gemara here according to Rashi. So assuming, therefore, that what we're talking about over here is where there are no edim and he is not coming to claim that she actually committed adultery, so therefore we're talking about a dvar mama. What's the dvar mama? The fact that he's not going to pay her ksufa. For that you need only 3 dayanim. So apparently the point is that you need esrim v'shlosha according to the Chachamim. Why is that? Because since it is a din, which is in certain cases, is a case of dinei nefashas. So if yeshbo dinei nefashas, therefore you need 23. But who cares? There's no dinei nefashas here. So who cares if theoretically you would need dinei nefashas of 23? How do you explain the fact that if there isn't a case of dinei nefashas, that you need 23? Omar Ula, Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, the machlokas is that since this is such a juicy topic, in which if this comes up in public, everybody is blabbing, oh my God, so-and-so claims his wife wasn't a virgin, and he doesn't want to keep her, and so everybody's talking. So as they're talking, people love to talk about this kind of thing. So sure enough, a couple of witnesses say, yeah, of course, we know. We've seen her fooling around with this guy after she was already Mekudeshes to so-and-so. Remember, There used to be a year between the Kiddushin and the Chuppah, so there's plenty of time for hanky-panky in the year. So these two Eidim, because of all of the juicy Lashon Hara going around, they're going to be appearing in court. So that's what we mean by Chashin and Lalaz, according to Rashi. And we're worried that they're going to show up, and then it's going to turn into a case of Chi of Misa, because they're going to, the Baal didn't know about it, but now all of a sudden, these Eidim come along. And so we have to be prepared for the fact that it may turn out to be a capital case that requires 23, the Sanhedrin Ketana. That's why the Rabbanan say Kol Shishin Lalaz, and we better start off right at the beginning to have 23. Mashenkin, Rebbe Meir says, look, if it happens, so we'll make a bigger basement. But meanwhile, we have a typical case of a family spat, and that requires three dayanim, and it's dinei mominus. Rava says, no, nobody thinks that we have to prepare in advance for the Eidim coming and turning it into a case of Dinei Nefashas. Kuri Amal Alaz Lo Chashina. That isn't the point. The point over here is whether we need to worry about how it is that Dayanim are treated. And that's about the covet of the original Bezdin. You know what the case is over here? The case over here is that we had originally brought up 23 because the husband claimed that he did have Eidim, so that the original tvia in court was that it was a capital case. Then the Eidim never showed. So now these Dayanim, they went home. Then the husband says, listen, gentlemen, 1 minute. I mean, okay, I couldn't get my witnesses together, but I certainly want you to paskin that I don't have to pay the ksuva based on the chazaka. Then ain't on tereach b'su'udu mafsida. So I would like you to be, at least three of you should be able to give me the psak halacha about my ktuva. Dayana limiya dinen mominus. That's the case. And so the chachomim say, even though it turned out not to be a capital matter, it turned out only to be dinei mominus, but in this particular case of dinei mominus, we insist that you have the original chav gimel. You need a 23 dayan bezdin. Why? Because since you originally had brought them together, it's very inappropriate to have them go home and then take the people that remain behind and say, well, how about you being done for me? It's like a pigia in the honor of the original Bezdin that you had gathered together. And therefore, you have to have even the subsequent monetary case has to be with 23. And Rebbe Meir says, well, we're not worried about that kind of thing. It's basically a new case of mominus. And then we just have like any other case of mominus, we have 23. So this is the way Rashi understands the entire matter over here. Tosus doesn't like any of this. And he has many, the Rabbeinu Tav has many, many problems with Rashi's pshat. First of all, he says, look, we've been in the middle of discussing dinei knosos, right? We talked about the ones mefata and how many people you need for dinei knosos. Now, this has nothing to do with dinei knosos. Why are we all of a sudden bringing this in if the issue is a ksuvas issue? Ksuvas has nothing to do with dinei knosos. And the truth is, says Rabbeinu Tam, every single place that we have a reference to a case of Motzi Shemra, it is never called Motzi Shemra when we're dealing about whether he has to pay his ksuva. The din of Motzi Shemra always has to do with the knas of the Motzi Shemra. That is to say, the mea slaim that he has to pay. Furthermore, I ask you, says Rabbeinu Tam, do we don the dinim of ksuvas today in Bavel? Of course we do. That's my simbachol yom. But, I mean, if you're telling me that you need mumchim, and you need mumchim to be dealing with this deal of Motzi Shemra, so then how could it be referring to the ksuva? It's got to be referring to the knas, and the minhag is today that everybody is and furthermore, what's this business of Chashina and Laz? Laz doesn't mean that people in the street are talking Laz. Laz always means that you are saying something wrong about a din. that had happened, like Atamotsi Laz on the Gittim, he brings a case. So because of that, it doesn't make sense to say Laz is being a reference, not Laz against somebody, but Laz just means rumor mongering will bring the Adam forward. We never use the word Laz for Chayshin and the Laz in that way. Chayshin and the Laz is we're worried that something will come out of this psak that will cause people to look askance at something or another. So, therefore, he tainas that what we're talking about over here has nothing to do with the ksufa. It is a reference specifically to the meas shekel that you have to pay as a motzi shemra, as is always the meaning of it. And it's not talking about that the baal is the one who is suing. It's talking about the father of the bride is suing the baal, and he wants the 100 shekel. And when we say chayshin and lalaz, we don't mean people talking in the street. We mean that there's laws against the dayanim is what it's talking about. So if it's talking about a case where the baal brings Aden, and the Aden end up not standing up into the interrogation of the court. So now the baal has to pay meas shloim. So the rabbanan say, look, if you're going to tell me that we only need 3 dayanim in this case, which should be the din since it's a dinei knas only, then it's going to look very bad. Why? Because in this case, maybe what will happen is that these eidim didn't stand up to the cross-examination, but maybe actually if the event seems to have happened, there may be other people that can stand up to the cross-examination. If they show up, we're going to have to bring Dayanim back in and recreate a Beis Din of 23, and then people will say, oh, wait a minute, didn't they take so-and-so and so-and-so the Dayanim, and now they went to take other people for Dayanim? And that is because the laws would be on those original Dayanim that people will say, well, apparently they didn't know how to deal with it, and they had to bring in other Dayanim. That's the point. That's what it's talking about. That the reason that we're worried is that you're going to say, people will say bad things about these dayanim. Fine. So then we'll see in the case afterwards that we're going to end up saying that if the Adim turned out to be liars, then we don't have to worry about it, because then we already know that we're not going to trust this husband. It means that he's trying to get phony Adim that are there. But that we'll talk about now. But it's two completely different ways in understanding what exactly the case here was. All right, so, but we'll continue going on with the simple lashon of Rashi, and we'll remember that there's a totally different kind of issue. So now we have two approaches. So according to Ula, we're worried that, according to Rashi, according to Ula, we're worried, according to the Rabbanan, that there might be Adim who show up because of all of the juicy laws that's going around in the street. And so we prepare 23 for that eventuality. And according to Rava, that's not the point at all. We're talking about a case where there had been initially a tviya of a chiyuv of misa. So now the Gemara has a problem with the way Ula understands the case. Meisvei. Take a look at the Braita, which says that the Chachomim, they say that depending on what the case was, if a husband says, I did not find betulim, my wife was not a virgin, so it depends. If tiva'o mamon, if all that he wants is the money, meaning not to pay his ketuvah, according to Rashi, then all we need is 3 dayanim. But if he was tiva'o at the beginning, he actually claimed that he has witnesses, so then he needs 23. Okay, now this works out according to Rava, because according to Rava, it's true. If the original problem that he had, he never mentioned that she committed adultery. He just said, look, she doesn't have a tulim, and I don't want to pay her ketuvah. Fine. So then that makes sense, because Rava said that that's exactly true. If the opening of the case is in terms of monetary issues, and he's not accusing her of adultery than he has witnesses and so on, so then the din is bishlosha. And that's exactly what Rava said. Only if he actually brought initially a case to Beis Din and claimed that my wife committed adultery, then he needs the esrim v'shlosha. So then even if it turns out that he can't find the witnesses or they don't stand up to cross-examination, then even if at the end it's reduced to a problem of whether he has to pay the ketuvah or not, it still requires the esrim v'shlosha because of the kavod of the dayanim. That's the way that Rava was learning. But according to Ula said that even if initially he never said that he has any kind of witnesses, he only was trying to get out of paying her the ketuvah. So in what sense would this be needing, where would the Chachomim ever say? But Ula said that you always need 23. So how come over here they say 3? By the way, I forgot to mention, it was one more problem of the Tosis, a very beautiful problem. You don't sue for not paying the ketuvah. That's not called suing. Suing is where you're trying to get compensation. So it's got to be referring to the Baal, to the Av, who's suing the Baal for the money that he owes for having made this accusation. Whereas the way Rashi is learning, you don't say Tva'o, that's not a Tvi'ah. That's basically, he's not paying. She's the one that would have to sue if she wants to get him to pay. So the whole thing seems to be backwards, says Tosis, the way Rashi's understanding it. Anyway, but we do have a problem, according to Ula, Kasha. Tell me where the Chachomim would have agreed to Rebbe Meir that 3 is enough. Oh, my Rava, I can tell you, it was me and the lion of the Chabura. Now, in this particular Chabura, we've got problems because we've got 2 lions, and Zoom has put them one under the other. A disaster. We've got Richie right under Ari, the lion cub. But in any event, I and the lion of the Chabura, we put our heads together. And who am I talking about? I'm talking about Rav Chiya Bar Avin. We put our heads together and explained a case that would work out even according to Ula. Actually, he did produce Edim. But what happened was that the father actually was able to prove that these Edim weren't even in town at the time that they claimed to have witnessed this adultery. So, now we've got a counterclaim for 100 shekel, because he's supposed to be fined for bringing this Lashon Hara out. That's called the Motzi Shemra. So what it's talking about over here in this Braita is the Mea Shkalim. And therefore, when it says balik bot mamon, it doesn't mean the husband is trying to collect money. It's that the father is coming to get his money as mea shekel from the Baal. So if that was the case that we say over here, then it's only, this is another case. The original case was the husband was claiming adultery. And now there's a new case where a man is claiming that someone accused his wife of adultery, his daughter, and he wants penalties. That's a regular monetary case. Knatzot, that's Bishlosha. So fine. What are we worried about in this case? That there's going to be other witnesses. We see the guy is trying to bring phony witnesses. So we're not even worried about that. Apparently, he just made up the whole thing. But if it's a case where, indeed, the way Ula understands it, where the husband says, Lo matzati l'ptulim, and there we're worried about the laws, according to Ula, that there might come Edim who get all excited by the Lashon Hara. So then, in a chinami, Ula claims that according to the Chachamim, you always need Esrim Mishlosha. Abaye says, I don't like the approach, not of Ula and not of Rava. I say no one is worried about this Laz business. And no one actually is worried about Mishum Kvodan Shel Harishonim. And therefore, the idea over here is that everyone agrees that if you originally were bringing the 23, we're not going to insult them by having them go back home. That everybody agrees. So then what are we arguing about? Where does Rebbe Meir say that you only need Shlosha? Because what we're talking about over here is a completely different question. What happened over here is, remember, that in order to be able to carry out a din of a chiyuv misa, it's not enough to have witnesses. Just because you have witnesses doesn't mean that there's going to be any kind of capital case. Those witnesses have to also give hatra'ah. They have to give the proper warning to the defendant that in the event that they go ahead with this crime, that they are going to be chayev misa. So, what we're talking about is that they did give her hatra'ah, but they did not say what would happen to her. They said, you know, if you commit adultery now, we're going to go to court, so you're going to be killed. But they didn't say that she's going to be chayev et skila. And therefore, the Machlokas is, Balkamayaskinan, could go into Atrabastam. They just told her, you're going to be chayev misa. But they didn't say which misa. And therefore, what Rabbi Meir was saying is, he holds, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Haitanahu, the Tanya Sharko Chayve Mitoche Betorah, except for one case, which is a person who actually is Mesit another individual to do Avodah Zorah. Over there, we do not require the normal dinim of Hatra'ah, and we don't require the witnesses to be visible, and we fool the person, put him into a position where he exposes the fact that he knows that what he's doing is wrong, and so on and so forth. So besides that case, says Rabbi Yehuda, any other case, Shar Kochayve Mitoche Batorah, you always require a Hatra'ah, which will, in order to carry out a capital din, you need, first of all, you need to have an Edah, that is to say, you need to have a Shaftuha Edah, you need to have a Besdin of 23 people. You need Edim, obviously. You need Hatra'ah, you have to warn that you shouldn't do this, and you're going to be chayev. And you have to tell the person whom you're warning, you have to tell him that he's chayev misa in Besdin if he does this. Rabbi Yehuda says that's not enough. You have to tell him which chayev misa he's going to be chayev. Achiyodiu be'ezu mitahu ne'erak. And over here, the Edim come to court that the Baal presents, and they say, and we ask them straight out, did you give Atra? Yes. Did you tell them, did you tell her that she's going to be Chayev Misa? Yes. Did you tell her exactly which Misa she's going to be Chayev at? No, we didn't know we needed to do that. Well, case dismissed. So, all right. So then that means that if we know, according to Rabbi Meir, right off the bat, that there's no way that this can come to Chayev Misa, that's what it's talking about. So he's going, Alibid Rabbi Yehuda, who says, Masha Enkein, the Chachonim, they hold, you only have to say that you're going to be Chayev Misa, but you don't have to say that you're going to be Chayev a Chayev Skila. So then that means that if these Edom appear in court, then this is a capital case. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, you need 23. According to Rabbi Meir, we know straight off the bat, this is not a capital case, and therefore you don't need 23. That's the Machlokas. Rav Papa says, I disagree with all three of the explanations. I say, what we're talking about over here is a very educated woman. She's an Isha Chavera. She's one of these women, you know, a Rabbatoinet, Rabbanit, you know, she knows all of the halachas. And therefore, there's a different machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan. You know what the machlokas is? It's the same as the famous machlokas between Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Rabbanan. And what is that? The Tanya. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, if a person is a Talmud Chacham, he's a Chaver, you do not need to give him Hatra'ah. Because the whole purpose of Hatra'ah, l'fishalo nitna Hatra'ah, ela lafchin ben shogeg l'mezid. Basically, he would be able, if you didn't give him Hatra'ah, he can say, I didn't realize that this was wrong and that you're chayev if you do it, and therefore, I was a shogeg. So fine. There, in this case, the person cannot claim it. Oh, you really thought that it was mutter? You're the rabbi who's been telling everybody that it's usher, you hypocrite, and now you're claiming you thought it was mutter. So there, a chaver does not need to have a proof brought in court that he knew that what he was doing was wrong because we told him. And he responded, I know it's wrong, but I'm doing it anyway. That's exactly the point of the atra'ah. But if he's a chaver, why do we need to give him atra'ah? Fi shelo nitna atra'ah lelavchin ben shogeg lemezid. And since over here this woman is a chavera, and she knows everything, so the chachomim say, well, if she is a chavera, then if the edim say we never gave her hatra'ah, it wouldn't make any difference. It would still be a capital case, because she knows anyway. She's known to be a rabbanit. Therefore, you need Esrin v'shlosha. Masha ein kein, Rabbi Meir, he holds against, he holds like the Chachomim, not like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, which means that she does need Atra'ah, even though she's a Chavira. Because of this, there's no chance that this is a capital case if the Edim tell you straight off the bat that we never gave her Atra'ah. Case dismissed. Rav Ashi Omar, there's yet another explanation. I say, you know what we're talking about over here that Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim are arguing about? It's talking about where there were witnesses. And we asked the witnesses, did you give Hatra'ah? And they say, yes, we gave her Hatra'ah, that she's going to be over if she sleeps with this guy while she's married, Mikudeshet, to somebody else. She is going to be over on a lav, which is true. And every lav is something that would be mechayev her, at least malchus. So we told her, you know, you are going to be lashed in court. So this is shita. One man the Omar holds that even in a case where a lav was mechayev you, chiyev mises bezdin, if the edim tell you that the lav is going to be mechayev you, malchus, you would get malchus. We don't paskin like that because it's a lav shenitin lazaras mises bezdin doesn't mechayev mises, but there is a shita like that. And that's what the machlokas is about. So this is the machlokas that we have over here in our Mishnah. It says, how many people do you need for a case of makas? Makas bishlosha. And Rabbi Shmuel says, besrim bishlosha. That's our Mishnah. So what we were talking about was a case of makas. So therefore, the Rabbanan hold that you need, like Rabbi Shmuel, you need esrim bishlosha. Rabbi Meir holds like the Chachomim, who say it's good enough for makas to have shlosha. That's five different pshatim that we've had so far. To be continued.